Study what's happened tonight. Are you blessed?
Hallelujah.
I am blessed. Praise God. I know sometimes we run a little bit later, but you know when you're in conference mode, time doesn't matter. Amen? And we just encourage you, if you have to sneak out, we don't think you're running away from us. We just know it's getting kind of late. But I'll tell you what, I just know that God fits it all in. Amen? He just wants that talent and that gift, that heart, just to be able to display His glory. Amen? That Shekinah glory, just as she played. Amen? I loved Uda's dance. I've been with Uda when she's done that dance so long, I can dance it with her. Amen? I don't consider myself a dancer, but I know the moves and she's easy to follow. Amen? And it was a warfare song. Amen?
Hallelujah.
It was powerful. Powerful. The worship team, you did awesome. Thank you very much. Our little darlings that come up here and dance and worship, they do awesome, don't they? I'll tell you what, when you're homesick for your own grandchildren, it's a breath of fresh air for me. It is when the little children, because that's how my granddaughter is, just like her. I mean, my granddaughter loves me so much that it's like when I go there, her daddy has built a little dollhouse under the steps that go up to the bedrooms. And I'll tell you what, it's for little people. But she insists when I get there that I get down in there with it. And her dad's taking one of those shop lights that you can move around under a car or whatever. He put it in there. You go around the corner and it's like nobody else. It's her world. She wants me to go in there. And the books that I send her or the books that I give her as a gift, I've even given her books that show pictures. And I tell a story on all those pictures. And they accidentally erased one of the pages. And I mean, for Isabella, it was like devastating. My daughter says, I'll fill it in. I remember what Grandma said. She said, no, don't touch it. Grandma will do it when she comes back. I want Grandma's voice. Amen? And so I am blessed. How many of you have been blessed by our young ladies up here? Amen? Worshiping the Lord in childlike faith. Don't you just love it? Hallelujah. They make you just absolutely be moved and stirred and encouraged. I want you to look around the room because we've got some posters hanging. Of course, we've got this one here, and our theme is out of Proverbs 2:2. Let your ears listen to the wisdom and apply it to your heart of understanding. Over here, Lamentations 3:23-24. Great is His faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in Him. Amen? We're going to hear about inheritance tomorrow night. We're going to have a blast tomorrow night. You'll never forget what takes place tomorrow night, ever in your entire life. And I even found Jesus. Amen? Such is the kingdom of God, and that is our children. Look at our children. Such is the kingdom of God. Are we doing our job? Amen? This other one over here that's got the puzzle pieces, it's one of my favorite because this is the one that's Psalms 33, and I talked a little bit about it last night. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell in unity. Amen? And we've been dwelling in unity since we started Wednesday night. Amen? The Point of Hopers have been running all over the town, just having a blast in your grocery stores, having a blast meeting people, having a blast shopping. I don't know what they're up to. I don't know, but all I know is they make sure that I'm eating good. That's their big job, amen? And I am doing just great, amen? Anyway, I'm excited about tonight because I want to share with you. I passed out cookies. Did everybody get a cookie? I mean, you don't have to eat it if you don't want, and there's more back there if you want more. But I gave you those cookies so you would always remember this message because I said this message is like an Oreo cookie. The Lord told me that. And He said, I'm going to give you the cookie top, and then I'm going to give you the cream in the middle. And I told Him, if you can find the double cream, I think it'd even be better. So I did that. Amen? And when I saw Him back there, it's not really on my diet, but I knew that there was chicken back there, so I enjoyed and feasted on my own Oreo cookie, and then I ate a chunk of chicken. Just so everybody wouldn't get upset with me. I wanted to eat more. Anyway, praise the Lord. You will not forget that that cookie is always going to remind you of a good bite that God has given you for this conference that you'll never forget. And it's going to taste good. Amen? I talked about alliance last night, and I talked in different forms and ways of what God's alliance is and how he puts people together, and they form an alliance, and they come in agreement. They may even agree to disagree for one purpose, for the kingdom of God. Amen? There's lots of people out there forming alliances with things that aren't right. Enemies form alliances. I told you about the battle that took place I think it's in Kings, where that battle took place in the, actually it was Joshua, excuse me, it was in the book of Joshua, I think Joshua 10, and that battle that took place, and the five kings rose up and formed an alliance, and they formed an alliance against the children of Israel, and they lost. Because if God be in you and on your side, you're going to win, just count on it. Amen? Might take a little while, but it's going to happen. And then the Lord wanted me to talk to you about taking that word alliance tonight and to three other words that he gave me on the airplane. And it's kind of neat the way that he poured it into me, and I'm going to try to give it back to you the way that he talked to me. Amen? But before I do, I want to tell you a couple things before I got this message that the Lord said to me. One of them is, he said, do my people know how to get in my presence? Do you know how to get into God's presence? You get into God's presence by acknowledging him. When your well is empty, when it's dry, speak to your well. Speak to your well. Sing to your well. Focus on worshiping him and praising him and thanking him and adoring him, and your problems seem to diminish. Amen? Start your day with the Lord and see what happens. Amen? Amen? And when you go to bed at night, thank him, because he's been with you all day. His angels are on assignment all day long, because they're in alliance with God to take care of you. Because he's our provision, isn't he? He's our protector. Amen? Anyway, he said another thing to me on the plane, and I'm looking for a gentleman, buff, strong gentleman, that'll come up here and help me for a minute. You knew I had you nailed, huh? Would you do me a favor?
I will try.
Okay, what's your name again?
Tyson.
Tyson. You guys know Tyson? Okay, Tyson, this is God's church. Amen, and you're part of it. So, what I want you to do is, with your right hand, I want you to just hold this out here like this. Before you take it, tell me, how much do you think it weighs?
About 6 ounces.
About 6 ounces, okay. Okay, I want you to hold it out there like that, and just keep it. That's not very heavy, is it? Yeah, you're going to hold that right there. Don't move. You keep an eye on him. If he drops it, say, Okay. I'll be back in a minute. Now, I'll tell you where this came from. I'm on the plane with Debbie Grimes. Hold it straight. Don't let it drip. I'm on the plane with Debbie Grimes flying down into Augusta, Georgia, and the Holy Spirit says to me, this is after I've already got the word, and I'm going back to Georgia in January, and the Lord says, Nancy, he says, how much do you think I weigh? And I just burst out laughing on the plane. I just burst out laughing. What a silly question. As far as I was concerned, I thought that was a silly question. How can I equate or even guess or imagine how much God weighs? Debbie goes, what are you laughing at? And I said, you can't believe what God just asked me. He asked me, how much do you think I weigh? And I'll tell you, my heart wanted to know how much he weighed. I wanted to know what he meant about that. So I began to start researching as soon as I got down to Georgia. I started looking, and I found the answer. The weightiness of God, the word is kabod, K-O-B-O-D, kabod. And what it means is God's glory. the weightiness of God is God's glory. And what he said to me was, Nancy, there was a day you didn't know me, and you had the weight of the world on your shoulders. And he said, I took that weight when you gave it to me. Amen? It's his glory. When I'm walking in the weight of his glory, because he magnifies himself through me. Amen? When I talk, it's like what I'm saying, he's already told me. It's his glory. Isn't that awesome? You walk in his Shekinah glory. She sang the song. I went, oh my gosh. She sang that song, and I was going to open with this illustration. How are you doing over there? Is it getting a little heavy? Isn't it weird? Isn't it weird? It hasn't changed size. Not at all. And see, he wants you to know that in his glory and what he wants is he wants us to let go. You know that song in Frozen? Let it go, let it go. I mean, that is my song right now, man. I'll tell you what, somebody even looks at me cross-eyed. Let it go, let it go. I'm wearing it out. My friends are laughing at me because I'm learning how to just say, let it go. I got a little pain in my stomach. Let it go, let it go. Amen? And the only way you're going to get refreshed over here and relax is if you let it go. And that's how simple it is in the kingdom of God to let it go and let him have it, because the weightiness of God, his glory, there isn't anything he can't handle. There isn't anything, I mean, he wimped out on, he thinks 6 ounces. You can sit down. I had this young man in Lincolnton, Georgia. And he came in, I got to give this testimony. He came in, and I'm going to tell you, Mr. Cocky. He was about 21 years old. He came in with his music. His parents had already came in before he came in, and they were like, yeah, he's going to come do the music, but he's got an attitude. And there it is, grumble, 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 grumble. And this kid comes in, I mean, he's just a doll, and he is just so gifted on his guitar, and he's just, like they said, a little bit cocky. Just really full of himself. And he just kind of messed around with his music and whatever. And I'm kind of looking at his parents, and I'm seeing that they got some expectations that are not fair. And I could see that there was a conflict in their family, because he wasn't kind of turning out the way they wanted him to turn out. Anyway, what was interesting was, when I was done, they said he would bust out the door, you know, he'll come and do the music, but he wants to go be with his buddies and whatever. And I said, well, we'll just see about that. Well, when the music was over, he couldn't go. He didn't leave. And when I was done speaking, he didn't want to go. He wanted to talk to me. He wanted to know if he was hearing God right. He had a call, and his parents were missing it. And he had a call, and that was what the conflict was. And so I was able to talk to his parents. I was able to talk to him. That night when it ended, it was a lot better. I'm trying to remember who was with me when I went out there to Lincoln. It might have been Liz. I can't remember who went. But we were so blessed, because that kid did a total turnaround. And there were like aunts and uncles in that room, and they were just blessed. And he was the one that held that bottle of water. And I'll never forget it. This is where his life changed. He wanted that bottle of water, and he wanted to hold it. And he says, I lift weights, and I pump, and, you know, I can't remember who was with me, because it was really funny. And he says, I can handle this. I can handle that bottle of water. And he puts it out there, and he's got sweat going down the side of his head while I'm talking. He's, like, putting his arm out. I go, you can't hold it up. You got to hold it out there. Remember, you've been lifting weights. But he said, man, this thing feels like it's 100 pounds. And that was the end of that story. Him and I are good friends now. Isn't God good? Just a simple illustration like that. Now, I want to go back, and I do want to talk in the direction. I want to make sure that I have some notes in front of me. It's like the direction I was going to go, and I'm just like you workshop speakers. I know where I'm going to go. I know what he said to me. But I always want to be fresh. You know what I mean? I want to be fresh. And so I told you that the first word that the Lord gave me was alliance. And I was excited about that. And I knew what he was doing is this year he's been calling alliances. He's been calling the churches together. He's been calling alliances and marriages. He's trying to do restoration in families. I'll have somebody come to me and say, I haven't seen my child for 8, 9, 10 months. And I'll go, it's going to end. And I guarantee you, every time I prayed, their families were restored, or there'd be a phone call. When Evelyn is telling you that she has seen amazing things, that's amazing things we're talking about. I mean, just amazing stories where God is so faithful. You could say it's coincidence, but I wouldn't. Never, never take that for granted. Amen? So then he gave me three more words. And when he gave me these three words, and remember, I was on the airplane, for those of you who don't know, it was on the first day of the Jewish calendar New Year for 2014. It was the 4th of December, or 4th of September last year. This year is the 24th and 25th is the New Year. It actually rolls into like almost 2 days. But anyway, it was the 4th, and by the time I got up on the mountain, it was the 5th when we blew the shofars, as he instructed. But then as we were going along, he gave me these words. And the first word I want to give you is prayer. God is calling us into alignment and an alliance with him concerning our prayer. And I said, Lord, and I'm going to just give it simply to you like he gave it to me. I said, Lord, what do you mean about the prayer? What do you mean? And he said, well, he said, the way that people are praying, first of all, they're not praying for expectation. They're praying the wrong way. They're not praying for their wives. They're not praying for their husbands. A lot of families, the wife goes to church, and if the husband would just stand up and take responsibility and start praying over the family and taking that leadership and that headship, which is identified in the Bible, then the family would come into order. The children would come into order. And instead, it's been thrust onto the mother, and the mother is scared because he'll get mad, and so she's careful what she does. So prayer gets crippled up. Now, if you're a family that prays, praise God and be thankful that you can do that. And you have the freedom to do that. But if you're not doing that, I pray that you will specifically quit, you women, quit being a fuss bottom here about your husband and where he's not at, and start praying for him to be where he's at. Quit judging where he's at. Let him grow at his speed. Nobody was plogging you along telling you what you had to do. You know what I'm saying? And I know a lot of men, and I'll get to sit down and talk to a husband and a wife, and the husband will tell me, you know what, I wanna go to church, and I wanna be a Christian, but you know what, my wife has nagged me about this so long that if I did it, she goes, see, I told you so. And I went, no, she won't. I said, it'll be like the shade that you will give her by that covering is incredible. No, she won't do that. But they're convinced if they give in, it's like a tug of war. A lot of men. They feel threatened by God because they're the fixer in the family. And when she's always running to God, it's like, hey, am I chopped liver? I mean, women, we need to think about the positions that we put our husbands in and our expectations. They're actually unfounded. The true expectation is pray, God, bring my husband into alignment to be the covering of this family as God ordained it. Or then you got Christian magazines coming out and saying, that's not true. Women, you don't have to submit to your husbands. Well, where is that coming from? I would never think anything different. My husband is the head of the household. God ordained it to be that way. And I would not be doing what I'm doing today if my husband said, honey, I don't think you're supposed to go. If he even hesitated about me going, I back up. That's how I feel about my marriage with my husband, my friendship with my husband. If I felt like there was a threat, and believe me, My girlfriends know how I am. My girlfriends know how I am about my husband. Amen? And I'll tell you what, if he says it, my world rocks. My world shakes. Amen? If he says, Nancy, I don't have a good feeling about this. Debbie's my closest friend. And I'll tell you what, Henry has a shake on. I go, no problem. I'm backing away from it. And I wait. I wait. Usually when I tell him, he already knows it. He's already typed up information. He already is in the know with God about where I'm going next. He just chuckles. He's just waiting for me. He's a secret keeper with God. And when God says, I'm going to be sending you, like right now, Henry knows where I'm supposed to go this summer. He knows where I'm going to go. And he's already told me, he said, your ministry needs to start, saving money. Start setting the money aside because you're going to have a very busy summer. He says, I see you going to at least maybe 6 countries. That's huge. But God already told me, he says, you can't go to those 6 countries until you go to Washington, D.C. and go to their embassies. And I'll release that anointing for you, that apostolic anointing to go into their country. So you have that authority when you go in there. And I'll tell you, that is exactly how it is. And I went, I don't know when I'm going to get to go, Lord. I know you want me to go, and I know you'll work it out, but I don't know when. And guess what? I don't fuss about it. But my husband, when I told him, he already knew. He already knew. And he says, you're going to go in December. You'll go over Christmas break. And I said, and he said, if none of your friends can go with you, he said, I'll take you. Amen? And any of you that know me really well know I have to go to D.C. before I go to a new country. That's his rules. And if anybody's gone with me when I've got to those embassies and God showed me what he wanted me to do, you can, there's people here in this room that have been with me and what God leaves at those embassies for me. And if you've ever seen the newsletters and we say what happened at the embassy, we close up what we saw and we go to that country and we do not open up what we saw until after we've done the ministry and compare it. It is about absolutely the most exciting thing to do. And it's right verbatim every place, even when we went to Albania and what God showed us at the Albanian embassy and when we got to Albania, what he showed us at Israel's embassy, what he showed me at India's embassy, all across Europe, every one of those countries, every one of them, we would go into those countries and it would be exactly what the warnings, what we need to be careful of and where we could move, where there should have been guards and we shouldn't have been near the capital. Nobody is around. We don't even think the cameras are on. And we have total access. And all they can do is say, what are you doing here? Well, oh, we're lost. Can you give us direction? We're just women, Americans lost. But I've never had to do that. Even when I was in Israel, over in the Muslim cemetery, and you're not supposed to be up there. And we got up there, and I got up to the Eastern Gate, right where the railings are. And here come these Palestinian police, doom, 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 to Sarah and I. And I'm almost finished doing the prayer that God asked me to take up there and speak. And I remember they come up there, and they're going, what are you doing here? I'm praying. That's what I said. I'm praying. Oh, that just blew him away. That wasn't what he was expecting. He didn't know who I was praying to. It didn't matter. He's got those big phones, not like our little cell phone things. They've got their little M16s hanging off of them in their uniforms. And it's like, just a minute. Ask Sarah if this is not true. This was true. And then he goes, and he goes, how long did it take you to pray? About 15 more minutes. Okay, when you leave, don't step onto graves. I said, I'm not, but you are. They were. I don't do that. And he goes, and he comes back and he says, and don't touch the Eastern Gate. I said, I can't reach it. I tried already. They have enough of that iron fence around it. My arms are too short. Praise God. But I want to tell you something. God said, you need to learn how to pray. And you need to know how to pray in faith. And you need to pray with expectation. Don't just pray. Go in the Bible and go, okay, here's a prayer, and just repeat it. God says he wants faith to rise up in you and believe for the return. Wait for the return. Amen? Don't just lift it up and go, well, whatever God thinks. Believe in faith that he's going to come back and fulfill that, because if his word says he's going to fulfill it, then you need to wait for that fulfillment, and you need to expect it. Amen? Amen? What is that saying? You know, it's like claim it or... How does it go? Name it, claim it. That's not what I'm talking about. I think that's about the most selfish prayer. I'm talking about releasing a promise from God that he will bring the return on it because you believe. Amen? When Jesus, I shared this story last night, when Jesus came down off of the mountain after he had the Shekinah glory on him, and he came down the mountain and he found out his cousin had been beheaded, and he was just devastated. And he's trying to make it down to the water and go to the other side of the Galilee and see, and he runs into 4,000 or 5,000 people that want prayer, and he goes into another mode. Here he is in grieving and mourning, and I did that. I went to Israel with that, my brother dying at 2 a.m, and I was on the plane, you know, 6 o'clock that same day, headed to Israel, and I didn't want to go. I just did not want to go. And Henry said, you made a commitment to go, a glow to go, and you've got to go. But I was in no condition to go. I was mourning my brother. I was right there with him to his last breath. And he just passed. I'd been up for days with him. I was exhausted. And Henry helped me finish packing. Debbie helped me finish packing. And I went to the plane and got on the plane. But I'll tell you, the plan was because of prayer that I was going to go. And the plan was something happened in that room when my brother died. Because, I mean, I'm going to tell you a woo-woo story here. But when my brother passed and I was with him, and I was the one that led my brother to the Lord, and I was the one that would walk in that hospital room and he'd have his old buddies and cronies. What did my brother die of? Hep C. Hep C. You know what that's from? Bad needles. And his liver had enlarged, and I mean, he was suffering, and I was going and visiting him, and he finally gave in and received the Lord. And I remember when I would go to see him in the hospital as he was fading, he would have his old cronies in there, and they would come in and he'd go, okay, this is my good sister. You can't cuss. I go, I don't care. I'd say, Gary, I don't care. Just be yourself. Just be yourself. And so I was in that room with him, and I knew that Gary was going to heaven, but I have a sister that wasn't a Christian, didn't want to be a Christian, and she had no faith, and she was probably the one that helped get him his drugs, and there were a lot of issues that were going on in that season, in that time, and she was there with me, but she didn't take his death well. She did. My mom had passed not too long before that. She didn't take her death well, because when you don't have the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, and you don't understand the gift of eternity, it is very, very. It's hard enough, but as a Christian, if you know where they're going, I'll tell you, there's a hope that you can't lose, and there's a prayer that you pray that you never lose. And what happened is I had my head on the bed, and I had my cheek on Gary's hand as he was passing, and I heard, it was like 2 something in the morning, and I heard the door open, and I looked up, and there were two men standing at the door, two men it looked to me like. And then I looked again, and I realized they were angels, and I see angels. And one of them went like this to me, got my eye, and he went like this. He did not have a watch on, but he was telling me it's time. And I put my head back down, And I started to whimper. And Gary goes, and that was gone. He was gone. That, when his breath came out, it wasn't in that room. It was in heaven. They were there to escort him. And my husband says, Nancy. And he named the time right there. He named the time. And so with the encouragement of my husband and friends saying, you need to go. This is already paid for. If you don't go, it's messing up everybody's tickets. It's part of a tour thing. And so I was going, but I was wounded and broken. And even though I knew where Gary was at, there's no shortcuts to mourning. There is no shortcuts. You've got to experience it. You've got to deal with the memories. And I was just going through the motions. But I got on the plane, and I remember that time. And I started going through the Bible because I knew it was significant. That time my brother took his last breath, and Henry said the time. I knew it was important. And I finally found it in the Bible. And my brother was, and don't quote me because I can't remember real clearly, but basically my brother, I think, was 46 years old when he passed. And Jesus had said, took 46 years to build that temple, but I'm going to tear it down in one day and rise it up in 3 days. And of course, he was talking about himself. And I knew immediately what God was doing was confirming that my brother was with him. Amen? And I started praying. And I couldn't wait till I got to Tel Aviv to call my sister. My sister was on my heart, and I just kept praying and praying with faith. And you know what happened? I got to a phone. I called my sister. She goes, I can't believe that you're calling me all the way from Tel Aviv. I said, it's because I have to tell you something. And this is so much hope. And I told her the scripture. I read the scripture. I said, who does that sound like? I said, this is a message from the Lord that Gary is with him. I am convinced. And she just starts sobbing. And she said, you know what I have in my hand? When you called, what I had in my hand? I said, what? She said, her husband's 357. She said, I've been sitting here drinking until I get courage so that I could do what I wanted to do. I can tell you she's not dead. She's alive. That really spoke to her. I'm telling you, you don't think your prayers aren't valuable? And your prayers of faith will not return void? And the Lord is saying, form alliance with the believers around you. Come in agreement about prayer. Start praying for your families. If you're not praying for your kids when they get up in the morning and they go to school, you're missing it. You're missing it because you never know what the enemy's going to do. I will tell you this until I'm blue in the face. Satan is a legalist. You may be the best Christian in the world, but I guarantee you, you go over the speed limit, you're going to get a ticket, and you're going to see people going by you, and the cop stops you. Think about that. Satan's a legalist. He'll point you out. If you're a Christian and you're doing naughties and think you're getting away with it, I'm telling you, Satan's a legalist. He holds his cards closed. And he will not reveal them until he thinks he can do the greatest damage. That's why these pastors across America are falling down like dominoes, because they're getting caught. And what the enemy is trying to do, because he thinks this is a critical time all over America, what America thinks about church and pastors, and is trying to give it a bad name. A bad name. I'm telling you, turn your prayers to life. Turn your prayers to life. Pray for those that are around you. Go back to 1 Timothy chapter 2, where it tells us how to pray, that all men should pray, and pray for our leaders. And he says, it'll be peace with you in your town if you're praying for your leaders. And I know that you're saying, I'm just alone, but I'll tell you what, grab another one and start praying. If you find out what church is having prayer time. Don't get all religious. Form an alliance. Go and join that prayer group. Amen? Come in alliance and agree in prayer for your community, for your mayor, for your fire chief, for your police chief. Pray for your school teachers. Pray for your pastors. Pray, 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 pray. Go down the road and look at all the businesses. And then if that's enough, go start going through the subdivisions and just start praying over the houses. You do not know what's going on behind closed doors. Amen? You know, we are not praying enough. I mean, we do it here in front of the church and we do what we feel normal and we think is right. But I'm telling you, it's not all right. We've got to get serious. We've got to roll up our sleeves and get serious about prayer. We need to start partnering and forming alliances, crossing over on cross-denomination and theology, and start bringing down God to this place and let Him move through us. Amen? And if you agree, say amen.
Amen.
Then do something about it. Amen? You're getting the same message that I've been speaking all over, and I'll tell you, people are just like responding. You want to see America change? You want to see Alaska change? You're the gateway for Alaska, Ketchikan. Start praying for Alaska and let's see what will happen. Amen? Let's not wait until after the mistakes are made and say, oh, we got to pray. That's like getting up in the morning and running around and doing your whole day and at the end of the day saying, God help me, I made a lot of mistakes today. That's like showing up to the symphony, you know, as the conductor and it's over and you're going, oh, what did I miss? Amen? Prayer is so important. It should be vital. It should be on your list every day. Have I prayed? Do I know how to pray? And if you say, I don't really know how to pray. I don't know that I've ever got with a group and prayed. Well, guess what? When I first became a Christian and I would listen to people pray, I was so intimidated. I was so intimidated. I just thought, oh, I wish I could pray like that. And then after a season, that movement went through and the church wanted to be a user-friendly church and they said, we just need to downsize how we're praying. And we need to, you know, not put born again and saved. And I mean, there was all these words that we use that are in the Bible that we're supposed to use. All of a sudden, the pastor's up there saying, people don't really know what you're talking about. And there, people start doing skits about our language and like at a bus station and how stupid it looked. You know, what do you mean? What do I need to be saved from? And the exaggeration was sickening. And I was offended. And I told that pastor, I stood up and I said, I'll tell you what, I've come this far to learn how to talk the Bible, and you're not, because you want to be user-friendly, I'm not going to change it. I'm not. I've learned this language. It's God's language. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? What word would you use to be for some, you want somebody to get saved? I'll tell you, that word is an opening door. Well, what do you mean by saved? And then you get to explain what saved is about. It's salvation. But you just say that one little word. I'm a fisherman. You throw that little egg out there, and they kind of nibble at it. Hey, I know how to jerk the line and hook them. They're not getting away. Amen? Just like Evelyn shared. God says, she was mine. Amen? Not me. God said, she is mine. And God had a plan. I didn't know what his plan was. I was just being obedient. What a great plan, isn't it? Hallelujah. Okay, the next word. Are you ready? It's the sound of praise. I was on the plane and I was sitting there and I said, the sound of praise. You want me to praise? I think I have another booklet over there. It's right here. This was the journal that I had with me when I was on the plane that I was writing in. It was really awesome because, let's see if I can find it. Here I am on the plane. And the Lord said, a new sound. And he said, the new sound, the new word is praise. And I said, praise. I said, okay. I praise you, Lord. I worship you. He said, yeah, but this is where my people fail. And it's important that you praise God for what he's done and what he's going to do. But where we fail is where we praise him about who he is. And there's like a startling moment right there when he says, praise me for who I am. Do you know me? Do you know your God? I'll tell you, when you start understanding who he is, then you trust him more. Your faith rises up. You believe. Amen? So here I am on the plane, and I just started writing notes as he was talking to me. I'm going to tell you the words he gave me on the plane. And I've got a witness that was watching me write down what God was saying. Are you ready? Praising God for who he is, 2014. He said, first of all, praise me because I am one. I said, you're one? He says, I am one. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's what I said. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, one. And he chuckled. And he says, there's one more. I said, there is? There's four? Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and Nancy Haney. And Henry, and you are one, so that's five. And your children. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. God is one. If God be in you, you are one with God, and you're one with those that you're connected with that believe. Amen? Praise him, because he said, I am one. Are you one? Can you say, I am one?
One.
I am one. You know, one of the things that I was hoping that Evelyn would say when she was up here is she was talking about our friendship and how everywhere we go, everybody just loves everybody and everybody's welcome. Well, it's always been, it's just been who I am. But it's like whenever I'd be doing something, people would come along and they'd go, I want you to mentor me. I want you to mentor me. And it was like, you know, before I even consider that, I would have to really pray about it. But I said, I want you to come to the Aglow meetings because there's more than me. And if you come to the Aglow meetings, I'm going to introduce you to all my best friends. And if you can handle all of them, then I'll mentor you. And it was a test, because if they came to Aglow and they could tolerate my friends, they could tolerate God's kids, then I would be willing to give them that time, and I would go and meet them at a restaurant, and I would ask them questions, and I'd let them ask questions, and then I'd ask how sincere they are, because if I'm going to mentor them, I'm going to be sharing things that I really feel like don't know, need to go out of that parameter. I didn't want them to tell anybody I was mentoring them. That's bad news. Then the phone's ringing like crazy. And so it's very interesting. And then what I would do is just listen to what they say. And then the next time I came, I would bring them about five books. And I'd say, I want you to read these books. I want you to write down all the questions you have, and I'll meet with you again. I'm not going to give you another book unless you bring those five back. I'm very jealous for my baby books. Very. And that's what I would do. But if I'll tell you what, they didn't even get cut into the fold if they couldn't handle my friends. Amen? So what I want to tell you is if Debbie Andres is my best friend, then she's going to be your best friend, and you're going to be her best friend. Amen? Same with Debbie Grimes or Liz Stinson or whatever. And you say, how can that be that I have so many best friends? How can God love all of us? You ever thought about that? How can he love all of us? Well, if he's in me, I can love a lot. And these are my best friends. And I would lay my life down for my best friends, and I am willing. Amen? So, he is one. God said to tell him, I am spirit. God is spirit. God moves in the spirit. He moves in the spirit in you and I. And I am spirit. I'm made of, what is it? I've got the flesh. I've got the soul. I've got the emotion. I've got the spirit. Amen? They all say when you pass, one of the things that leaves is your spirit. But God says, I am spirit. And if we be one, I've got God's spirit. He's in me. I can walk in the spirit. Amen? Listen, you guys, will you be responsible for what you're housing in your temple? This is the revelation. If you start praising him for who he is, it's all in you. Amen? The next one he said is, I am infinite. What does that mean? I am infinite. That means he is bigger than you think. Way bigger. Don't think that you can outbig him. You can't. I'm telling you, he is big, and there is nothing he can't accomplish to you if you let him. Amen? He says, I'm infinite. He said, I'm eternal, unending. You are eternal. If you are in Christ, I'm telling you, we're in for the long haul. Get used to seeing me. Amen? Amen. Amen. We're going to be together. You think this is a party? I can't wait. You know, I've been there. I can't wait to go back. I know what's waiting for me. Amen? God is unchangeable. God's not like us women, changing our mind all the time. He's unchangeable. You may think you talked him out of something. I'm telling you, you just deceiving yourself, because he's unchangeable. He's relentless. He will not stop until he has you all. But I'll tell you, he's a gentleman, because he gives you your free will. He will show you the way. He'll show you the path, and you'll finally realize that you don't like it down in the ditch, and you'll get back on the path. Amen? And he'll show you. He's unchangeable. He has a goal for your life that's good and sweet and wow and great. But you just got to believe it. Amen? And if you're in a valley or you're in a dry place and you don't know what's going on, just hang on, because the best is yet to come. Amen? Amen? He said, I am wisdom. I want you to know he is wisdom. He created wisdom. But if you trust him, and you ask for wisdom, oh my gosh. Don't play with that. Don't just use it just when it's a biggie. Every day say, Lord, bless me. Bless me with your wisdom. It's a gift. It's a gift from him. And if you be him and him be in you, you can walk in wisdom. But you've got to ask him to activate it in you. Because we're so busy with our thought process and what we want to do, we don't ask him to be a part of our decision. And then there's days when we're one place away from our decision for our destiny, and we're wondering, what the heck am I doing here? Well, it's your choice. That's where you wanted to be. And sometimes some of the testimonies that have been given, they were this way, and it was because of their strong will. But then when they gave up their strong will and was willing to listen to God, look at their lives. Amen? But it wasn't wasted, because they can share their testimonies and see how God delivered them and blessed them. Amen? Praise God. He's power and strength. I'm telling you, you may be weak as a kitten, but he's full of power. And if you tap into that power, there's nothing you can't accomplish. This is not fairy tale. This is his word. This is his promise. I challenge you. I know you're writing these down, and I could give you scriptures for every one of them, but I'm not, because it's your responsibility to get in the word and find out who he is. He says, don't spoon feed him. Hanging out there just like you're fishing. Get out of here. Okay. He's holiness. God is holiness. And if he be in you, in your temple, don't you want to be holy with him? Be like him. Imitate him. He'll help you. He'll go, I can't be holy. I keep making these mistakes. Hey, he's not looking at the mistakes. He's looking at the big step you took yesterday. He's looking at the big step you took yesterday. He's celebrating that. You know what's neat about my God? He is shielded from our sin through Jesus Christ. It's like, quit trying to remind him. Jesus has moved it as far as the east is east and west is west. God gave that to Jesus for our behalf. Amen? Let Jesus, through his word, teach you how to be holy and righteous and walk in dignity and character that God can be proud of. But I'll tell you, that's not why he loves you. He loves you because of his grace and his mercy. Amen? He knows us. His goodness, God is full of goodness. He's so full of goodness. And sometimes we don't want to be good. We want to pick and choose who we want to love and who we don't want to love. You know, we're a little schizophrenic about that. Have you noticed? You know, oh, it's my buddy, it's my buddy. Yeah. Oh, my buddy, my buddy. I love your hair, I love your hair. What did you do to your hair? Oh, my buddy, my buddy, my buddy. I mean, it's so convenient. It's easy to love something that is easy to love. It's hard to love something that's different. Some of you may think Point of Hope is weird, and you're trying to love us. That's okay. We'll be patient. Amen? Amen? God is a God of justice. Just remember, God is a God of justice. You don't have to go make justice with your enemy. You let God take care of it. Amen? And you turn it over, what is it, Psalms 35. God says, let me contend against those and that which contends against you. Let me take care of it. Amen? And I'll tell you, when you grab a hold of that and believe that scripture, you know what happens to you? You start defending the one that hurt you. God, they didn't really mean it. They didn't really mean it. I mean, they did something really naughty. But you're talking to God, Almighty God, a holy God, who has made a promise to contend against that which is against you. And he will keep his word. He will keep his word. And you'll find yourself saying, Lord, I forgive them. Please have mercy and grace on them. They didn't mean to do it. They were out of their mind. I'll tell you, that's what I do. Used to be when I was younger, Lord, get them, burn them, crisp them. You know? He was like, they hurt me. They hurt my family. But I learned real quick, the power of God that is on me and what God does and what his promises are for me. Listen, if you've hurt me, you have no idea how I am defending you with God. Because I know what he'll do. I've seen it. I have evidence. And it shakes me to my core. And I am accountable to God that I won't make mistakes. I try not to make mistakes. I'm not perfect. But I'll tell you, if I'm a part of agitating that, I'll tell you, my friends see me carry that burden inside of me until it is set right. I just can't get away from it. God is absolute. He said, Nancy, tell him I'm absolute. I said, you're absolute? He said, that's right. For example, if I've called you to do something, my absolute is in this. You're going to do it. I'm going to provide, and I'm going to give you the open doors. You just be willing. It's the beginning, the end, and it's all the in-between, like that cookie. I'm absolute. So if God says, I'm going to do something in your life, what you need to do is find out if you're getting yourself in alignment so he can move, so that he can bless. If your hands are closed and he wants to bless your finances so you can do something, I'll tell you, open your hands. And you'll be like that widow with the two mites that had nothing. And when Jesus watched her drop those two coins into the bucket that amounted to 1 cent, he knew right there the purpose and the cost, what she did when she dropped those coins. And he told them all, she gave more than all of you together. I'm telling you, open your hands and see what God will do. He's a God of provision. And he said, I'll protect and I will provide. And if I said it, it's going to get done. It might take a little bit of time. I have a friend over in China that was a friend of a friend over here. And I've heard great things about her. But when she was about 18 years old, a missionary came through and said, God's going to use you and you're going to lead thousands of your people, hundreds of thousands of your people to the Lord. And she lived in this village and nothing happened. Nothing happened. She didn't get invited anywhere, didn't go anywhere. She wasn't used. She wasn't bringing anybody to the Lord but except people in her village. And then when she's 20 or 30, then she's 40, then she's 50, she still has never gone on a missionary trip. She's 60 years old. She's thinking, I'm never going to get to go. She's 70 years old, and a missionary came in and said, I need you to go up to the northern part of China with me where it's really dark, really, really dark. Will you help me? And she went up there. She began to evangelize, and I'll tell you, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people have come to the Lord because of that woman's testimony. It's God's timing and his provision, and he's absolute. Amen? And then the other word is knowledge. He's all-knowing. We already discussed that earlier. He knows what you can do. He knows what you're capable of. Amen? It's like these girls and guys, they say that I come after them. Do you know why I go after them? It's because God told me I could and that you wouldn't tell me no. I looked all over the room and I said, who is that man that's going to play Jesus for me? Who is it? I looked from the minute I came in the door. I looked and I looked and I looked. And I said, which one, Lord? He said, he won't tell you no. Amen? He's about to be one of the most blessed men in Ketchikan before this is over. Amen? Amen. God is full of love. It's interesting when he talked to me about his love. He's full of love. He says, but Nancy, I'm also jealous. I said, you are? He said, yes. That which I have, I get jealous of the enemy trying to steal it away from me. If we don't guard our hearts, the enemy is a legalist. He'll come in and he'll use every manner. He'll use your health. He'll use your finances. He'll use relationships. I'll tell you, the enemy, he's cunning, deceptive. But God is greater in all of it. And God will be jealous. And he will be protective. And you'll think, why are you not allowing me to have fun? Isn't that what the kids say? How boring. You know, you come to these conferences and you've never been around something like this and you're just shaking in your boots and you're thinking we're weird, yet you feel the Holy Spirit. We walk by you. Some of you are like wobbling because the anointing is so strong and it's scary. If you don't understand and you believe that God is all powerful, you're going to be scared. But he's all loving with that power and he wants to release it in your life to help you change and come into the kingdom in a proper way to you be used in a proper way so that the enhancement of God in Ketchikan will be greater. Amen? You agree with that? He's full of grace. He's full of mercy. He's full of righteousness. He's all knowing, meaning he's wise. He's eternal. He's all sufficient. He has no limits. He's a lover, but he's also jealous. You men, you get jealous for your wives, and it's like they don't understand. Why are you being jealous? They get jealous of time. God gets jealous of our time. They get jealous of our friends. Why? Because they want time. They want time. Amen? That jealousy is also they want to be protective. Our husbands are fixers, and if they can't fix a problem, it just drives them nuts. Amen? I know it. Girls, you know it too. He's creative. Our God is an artist. He's a creative. He says, I'm a creator. He is. He's the greatest artist ever that you would ever know or understand. And he's very creative. He never gives up. Our God is faithful. He never gives up. He will never forsake you guys. No matter how stinky you get, he's still come change your diapers if you let him. Amen? He's fair. He's just. He's righteous. He's patient. He has long suffering. He talks about it there in Genesis 34. He's never surprised. He's all-knowing. That's what's neat. We think we have all the secrets. But you're not alone. He knows everything. He's right there. He knows what goes on in your bedroom. He knows what goes on in your workplace. He knows what goes on out on your boat. He knows you. You're not hiding anything. Amen? He's not weak. Again, he's not moody. God is better than you think. He's better than you think. Anything that you think, add on to it. He's greater than that. That's what he was saying to me on the plane, how great he was, how infinite he was. Isn't that awesome? So if you're going to praise him the way that he wants you to praise him, and you start declaring, God, you're one, then you're going to find out who you are in him as you're praising him. And that praise and that worship is so valuable. If you praise him because of his spirit or that he's unchangeable, he's asking you to be unchangeable. He's asking you to be full of goodness and justice. He's asking you to be knowledgeable and full of wisdom. He says, it's here. It's here. You know, he just walks in and he's got all this luggage and he just snaps it and opens it up and he says, here, this is your wisdom. You asked for it yesterday, didn't you? More wisdom. Here, didn't you ask for healing? Here, this is yours. This is how he's operating all the time. But we've got to ask. Amen? Amen? Okay, the next one is prophecy. The next one is prophecy. And I went, oh, this is the third word. This is part of the cream in this cookie. Prophecy. I said, okay, are you talking about Sally Sue's going to prophesy, or Jimbo's going to prophesy, or Uda's going to prophesy, or what are you talking about? And he says, take it back a little bit. He said, listen to how the husbands and wives talk to each other. He says, you can't do that. She says, you can't do that. You're prophesying negative. He's saying, we're broke. We're stone broke. We don't have a penny. He's prophesying his lack. She's saying, Johnny and Susie are bad kids, and what are we going to do? We need to pray for them. They're bad kids. We're just speaking and prophesying death instead of life. It's the same with prayer. We're praying the negative rather than praying the positive. And that's what the Lord is saying. Prophesy that which isn't as if it is. Start speaking into your marriage. If your love is growing a little bit cool, ask God to speak life into that marriage and bring back the joy of the marriage. Bring back the memory of your first love. Amen? Amen? What I do is when people come to me and they go, oh, we just got finances problems, and it'll be a couple, for example. And they're sincere. They want help. They've got their self. They've thought foolishly, did foolishly, and their finances are out of order. And they'll go, help us. Help us. I said, are you willing to be strained a little bit? This is going to be a little bit of a strain because you're going to have to trust God in it. I want you to go home. I want you to get all your bills. I want you to get your checkbook. If you have a savings account, I want that on the table. I want it all on the table, just you and your husband. And I want you to just start praying over it. And I want you to give your bills, give your checkbook, give your savings account, give it all to God. And then say, forgive us and repent because of where you've come and these problems. And watch and see God's sovereign hand move and help you. It'll be wisdom like you would not believe. I have seen marriages do that, and their finances the next year, they're totally out of it. I remember one friend of mine came to me, and she was just in tears. She said, you know, my husband was just letting me do whatever, and he wasn't telling me what was going on. We were $80,000 in credit card debt. $80,000 in credit card debt, and he was doing the bills, and she had no idea. He finally confessed it to her. This is what I've done to make it possible so you could do whatever it is you're doing. And they wept and they cried and they came to me. And I mean, she was so mean, you know, because it was like, why didn't you tell me? It was like it was his fault to just let that line be out there, let her keep doing it and doing it. Yes, he was wrong in doing it. But where was her good sense? Where was their agreement to come together, you know, about what kind of purchases to make and come and pray about it and see if that was the right kind of thing? You know what I'm talking about. Anyway, but they were genuine, and I remember meeting them in the bookstore there. What's that bookstore we go to, the secular one? Barnes & Noble. I had them meet me there back in the coffee shop, and I counseled them. And guess what? They are thoroughly, totally out of debt. Totally, thoroughly out of debt. It took 2 years. It took 2 years to get rid of that $80,000 debt. And it was like she got a job, a good, healthy job, his work all of a sudden just started building up, and they just automatically focusing on paying off that debt, paying off that debt, paying off that debt. There were blessings given to him that just was surprising, just out of the blue. It went to the debt, tithing and debt. And they are, it's gone. It's wiped.
Hallelujah.
Isn't that awesome? But
yeah.
That's because they began to prophesy over their bills, not death, not we're broke, not their lack. They started praying how God was going to pour out to them because they repented for their poor stewardship and began to pray that God would take over their finances, and God did. Amen?
Yeah.
And God did. My husband, God love him, and he does. My husband, you know, he claims he doesn't have the faith that I have. He just is amazed. It's like when God gives a call and I'm going to go somewhere, Debbie will come to me and go, well, I guess it's time for you to go. The money came in. I'm not fussing about it because I'm going to go when God wants me to go. And that's one of the signs and when we can start planning the trip because the money's there. Amen? But Henry, he's the opposite. It's like that money better be in the bank or we're not even talking about it. That's his faith, isn't it, Debbie? He is like so conservative. Mr. Conservative goes to the refrigerator and he looks at the dates on the bottles. By the way, I got to tell you, he did it while we were gone. I'm sorry. I did fight for the dressing, so. Debbie comes over and eats at my house a lot. But anyway, we put stuff in the refrigerator, and Henry does. I mean, I tell you, that's just the way he is. He'll go and he'll start pulling that stuff out of the refrigerator. He pulls the garbage can up. I mean, he said, it was my turn to clean out the refrigerator. And he messes with my ketchup.
Oh, no, never.
Yes, the ketchup. Oh, what are you throwing my ketchup away for? Well, the date. The date. Anyway, this is just kind of a joke between Debbie and I. He got the refrigerator. Oh, no. It's like you want to put a policeman sign on it. Don't cross this border here, you know. It, anyway, I should have hit it. Anyway, the girls heard me in the car when I was talking to him. And he goes, well, you just tell Debbie. I'll just take it all over and put it in her refrigerator. Anyway, it's just kind of funny. But we do got to speak life. We got to speak life into our children. Amen? And here's another point that he brought up. And this is kind of unusual. And this might ting you a little bit. But we often speak over our kids things that are such expectations. And when those kids can't meet it, they are absolutely feeling like total failures. You know, I'll give you an example. I have a friend that has a daughter, and her daddy just called her princess. He just lavished her. He had other children, but he just called her princess and blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. And I'll tell you what, that was the hardest thing for her because she started putting weight on, and she got chubbier and chubbier and chubbier. She went off to college, and, I mean, she just, nobody wanted anything to do with her. And he had told her she was a princess. He was the only one who told her she was a princess. You know, and I'll tell you what, my mom and dad say things. Kids, when they get older, they decide they don't believe you because they know that you say things that aren't true. You say things out of your heart and love, but they're not true. And I've seen boys and girls where parents had spoken to them and they went with expectations and got shot down. So I say to you, when you're prophesying over your children, prophesy truth. You can be a child of God. That's truth. And I'm going to be a part of the equipping and the training for you so that you'll know where to go. Amen? Isn't that the truth? Be careful what you say. Don't flow those things out there. I mean, we want to call our kids princesses and we want to say all those things, but let's be honest so they develop a character of understanding, you know, instead of this fairy tale stuff. And then they get out there in the real world and they get shot down. And you're trying to figure out why they're just so depressed, why they're so down. What is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? And you have no idea. It was those words that you spoke into them that weren't quite the truth. Not in the fashion that they took it. So be careful how you praise people. Be honest in your praise. If it's genuine, honest, and true, I applaud it. But be careful in your exaggerations. Be careful in those standards that you set up here that those children are not going to meet. They're not going to meet them. Amen? But the things that God has in standard in here, you pray those, and they will meet those. Those kids will go off to college, and they'll go off and get in their life, and what they'll do is come back and say, this is what my parents did, and this is who my parents are. And that's what my children do. They let me know what we did right. You know, Dobson, he said that after his kids grew up and he was writing a book, he went back to all of his kids and he said, tell me the one thing that I did wrong in raising you. You know what all of the kids said? All of them said the same thing. Dad, you never followed through. He wrote that in his book. Dad, you never followed through. When you'd say, if you do that, I'm going to do this. He said, you never followed through. We knew that we could get away with it. And that's when they're adults. And he said it really hit him between the eyes that he didn't follow through. How many times have we not followed through? And what do we teach our children when we don't follow through? Guess what? They're going to do the same thing. So the Lord says on prophecy, we are all prophesying. We're all prophesying life or death. And that's why he's saying form an alliance. Form an alliance with me. Examine your heart, what you're saying, what you're speaking. Be careful how you're saying it. Because it'll come back, and if it's not true, it'll bite you in the bottom. I'm telling you, it's going to get you every time. Amen? You know, I've told you, you know, mom runs to the door and opens the door and says, Jimmy, get out of the street! Get out of the street, you're going to get wrecked! Why do we speak that? Why do we speak like that? Why do we put fear? We're speaking fear into our children. I think about all the things that I said when my kids were young. I go, please forgive me. When something comes to my mind, I call Lisa, please forgive me. I remember saying that. I didn't mean to say that. Did that bother you? Has that affected you? Have I formed and shaped you bad? I'm really sorry. You know, especially when I first got this word about what the Lord was saying. Building up, not tearing down. Spouses, look to each other and build each other up. If she's got a heart for something, support her in it because you're going to be blessed by it. You'll be blessed so much you won't believe it. And the same with you. Bless your husband. Encourage your husband. Encourage him when he doesn't think he's got the courage. Encourage him and see what he'll do. I mean, he never wants to let you down. My husband never wants to let me down. He gets caught in the naughty, and I mean, it's like, he goes in the cave for 3 days. He has to rise again. I mean, he has to, and I know when he comes out. No, I'm not kidding. He has to chew on it, think about it, and decide if he's going to apologize or he's just going to let it slide or he's going to fight it. And he'll come out. I mean, my girlfriends have seen him. He gets the pucker lip. I know, oh, dear. Let's get that pucker lip, and the kids will go, Dad's got the pucker lip. He's upset. You know, it's like he has to work through it, and he's a good man and a righteous man. I've never been disappointed when he came back. You know, he doesn't have to apologize to me, but it's like, Henry, I have to correct something here. You know, and believe me, I don't think that there's very often he corrects me, is there? But I'm sure I need correction. But shut up, Sarah. See that prophecy garbage? Did you see that right there as an example? I'm teasing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He's awesome. I wanted to tell you about those three. And I want to prepare you from where we started Wednesday night and where we've gone about alliance. And what God is speaking to us about our prayer life, and we need to get stronger in our prayer life. Amen? It's something he's concerned about. It's the way we talk to him. Amen? There's something about when we praise him that we need to understand who he is. And if you understand who he is, I encourage you strongly
to get in the Word and find out why you've got to praise Him for who He is. Because everything that you praise Him for who He is, it's in you. Let Him activate it. Amen? You'll change. It'll be transforming. And He also wants you to form an alliance with Him to understand what you're saying, what's coming out of your mouth, what shouldn't come out of your mouth, what should come out of your mouth. Because you're speaking life or death. Amen? You're building up or you're tearing down. And that's the basics that God is saying He's going back to for 2014. He says, this is the sound I want you to hear. This is where I want you to go. This is what I want you to listen to. This is what I want you to come into accountability. And I'll tell you, men all over West Virginia, I'm telling you, men in Georgia, South Carolina would come back because they knew that they weren't praying right. They knew they weren't saying the right things. They weren't doing the right things. They realized that they were coming against the wall with their theology, and they weren't crossing the street to help somebody else. They realized that in the workforce, you know, that's George over there. You know, he goes to the Assembly. I don't want anything to do with him. You know, those are a pew jumpers. And he goes to the Pentecostal church. So I got my little Mormon group over here. And I'm telling you, God is saying, stop that. If you don't form an alliance and work together, guess what's going to happen to this country? Are you feeling the shaking? You should be. God's saying, if you will pull together in the community from the right to the left, I'm telling you, when you come together and you start praying righteously, you will see a change. And I can't think of a better place to give this message to than Ketchikan, Alaska, because you're the gateway to Alaska. And you will affect me and Nikiski. You will affect Sarah and Wasilla, and you'll affect Delta Junction, where Evelyn and Lewis are from. And then you will also be effective, because when you're, they say it's going to come out of the north. You know, America watches Alaska. Well, like a hawk. We got our famous evangelists and teachers and whatever that fly into Alaska, and you'll hear their testimonies. They'll say, the spirit here is different. And I'll tell you, one or two things happens. I've seen it consistently in doing my own conferences or being in other people's conferences in Anchorage. What'll happen is you'll get those big wig speakers come in, and either they'll come in and they'll just go on and on about the presence of God and how peaceful and blah, 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 blah. Or they'll come in, and I'll tell you what, they'll turn into an absolute jerk. Or jerkette. They will, because there's sin in their life, and Alaska will not stand for it. There's a spirit over this state that will not stand for it. I have brought speakers up here, and I'll tell you, they'll manifest, and it's like you can't get them out of the state quick enough. I've seen it happen. They come in, all of their sin, all their judgment, all their garbage. It's like they can't even remember that they're there representing God. All of a sudden, they're in a sore fight with everything and anything, and it's like, I can't get them out of here quick enough. I've had speakers come up here that in their sphere of influence, they're famous, bring them up here and find out they're having an affair with their worship team, or they're having an affair with one of the women, the secretary, or whatever. And they're staying in my home, and I'll tell you what, it's this exposed. I can't help it. I see it. And I'll go, what is going on? You got a soul tie in the wrong place. And that needs to be broken. And then I'll have pastors outside call my house and they'll say, what the hell? You know, they're just like, what is going on up there, Nancy? And I'm a seeker keeper. And it's not my business to tell them about the sin in their camp. That's God's business to reveal. Henry stands there and goes, tell them. No, I'm not going to. God will expose it. Amen? I am not exaggerating. I mean, all of this team will get up and tell you some of the things that we have had to deal with in this state. I don't know if you've had speakers come in this area and they've manifested, but I'm telling you, God loves Alaska. This is the highest number of charismatics per capita than anywhere in the United States, Alaska. Did you know that? That's the findings of U.S. Rural Report in 2020. Amen? And when I say charismatics, I am proud to say that. You want to know why? because Jesus is charismatic.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Fivefold ministry believes in the fivefold ministry, believes in the movement of God, believes in signs and wonders and miracles, believes in speaking in tongues. Amen. Yes. Amen. But that's a gift he's given us. Amen.
Hallelujah.
So, I'm going to stop here, and I'm going to tell you what's going to happen tomorrow. We're going to have fun. It is going to be a blast. I promise you. Tomorrow I'm going to talk to you about your inheritance. I'm going to talk to you about some awesome things that you'll never forget. You're not going to forget the Oreo cookie. Amen? I'm going to talk to you about it. I'm going to tell you a story that is going to be awesome with a good return. And then we're going to clear out this area here, and we're going to set up a gauntlet. I want you to bring your friends, because this is going to be awesome deliverance. Awesome deliverance. Because that gauntlet is going to be set up, and in that gauntlet, there are going to be people that are going to be wearing signs. And if you know what a gauntlet is, I don't want to give it all away. If you know what a gauntlet is, it means you're going to have to go through it. I'm not going to tell you what happens. It's going to be up to you. But you're going to be so glad when you get through it, because you're going to be delivered. And you know what's going to be waiting for you, because Jesus is going to be standing here. And you're never going to love somebody so much as when you get to the end of that gauntlet. And when we're done with that, some people go through a couple times. Some people can't hardly get through it. But then we change the signs, and you're going to go through a fire tunnel. This is God's plan, by the way. And as you go through that fire tunnel, I got my hands on my hips, and I said, Lord, okay, you want me to do a fire tunnel? Show me in the Bible where that is. I mean, everything I've shared with you tonight is in the Bible. I could have ran those scriptures through you, but you know what? We'd be here another hour. But I'm going to tell you, I said, fire tunnel? I understand a gauntlet. I know what the gauntlet did. I know the different places and the different places in the world. What the purpose was it for? It was for punishment. It was for training. It was to see if you could cut the grade. But the fire tunnel, where's that in the Bible? He said, Nancy, the Old Testament. I used to have them go through and let the priests lay hands on them and pray for them. And the Old Testament. They had fire tunnels in the Old Testament, and they would go through and get a blessing put on them. He says it's no different.
Yeah.
It's going to be powerful. It's going to be fun. It's going to be great. Amen? And by the way, if you never liked Oreo cookies, you're going to love them. Amen? Those are my colors. Manna from heaven. Amen?